Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you. Good morning. What a great morning, yeah? Love that worship. So good. When I was worshiping, I was thinking, do you know what? I've been saved 32 years and I just thank God so much for being saved. Is anybody else like that? So thankful after many, many years, like, oh, Jesus, thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you chose me, you know. And, thank you for your grace and mercy every day. And, this morning I want to share, some stuff that God has been speaking to Clive and I as we went on some travels, back in June. And so it's sharing what God was showing us, this the bigger picture when we were in the nations. And but also out of that, what God was showing us, what God I believe is doing with us at this moment. So it will go from sharing into a preach and there will be a response at the end. Is that all right? We'll see how it goes. But the focus at the end of the day and in these days very much is Jesus. It's Jesus. He does stay our focus all the time, every day. And that doesn't change, does it, as we go on our journey, as we get older, or, you know, it's still Jesus every day, his grace, his saving grace, and his love. And but when we went away, so Clive and I went in June, God spoke to us a couple of years ago about going on a long trip, as like a holiday and a sabbatical type thing. That's where you go and spend time with God. We visited different churches, We were going to take 6 weeks out, which is a complete miracle because Clive doesn't even like being away one Sunday from church. So you know, if he took that long a time out, God had spoken to him, and this was a God thing. So we thought we would take the 6 weeks in the States. Our son lives there with his wife and our granddaughter. But God spoke to us this time last year, and we felt that we would spend the first part in Israel. And we didn't really know why. We Israel doesn't tend to be a holiday for us. It tends to be work. So we're like, okay, God, something's going to be happening there. And so we just had this in our mind. And then we were invited to a presidential prayer breakfast. And this was happening in Jerusalem. And this was the first time that something like this has happened there. And basically, it was a prayer breakfast in the parliament and in a hotel. It was over 2 days. And it was bringing together parliamentary leaders in Israel, church leaders, ministry leaders in Israel, and from the nations. So there were 550 people there, from 50 different nations. And there were three of us from the UK. So there was Clive and I and another guy we know, a black pastor from London, who's an amazing guy. And we were like, partly like, okay, God, how did we get here? Why are we here? And all the rest of it. But, I think that's where God has a call on Kingdom Faith. Okay. Kingdom Faith has a call and anointing on it, to do with the nations. And God positions us in places where you think, how on earth did we get here? But God is moving things. And whenever anything happens in Israel that's a first, you know, it's key. And we were right there. And God was stirring the Jerusalem to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. It was their 50th year of Jerusalem being back in Jewish hands. Okay. So it was Jewish many, many years ago. And, then many of them had to leave because they were dispersed amongst the nations. And then 70 years ago, in 2018, Israel will be 70 years old, okay? They became a nation once again, a homeland for the Jewish people. And 50 years ago, they got Jerusalem back into their own hands through a war, okay? So they were celebrating. These are like dates where they celebrate what God has done, okay? And really, God was honoring his word and his promises to his people that he would bring them back. So God is moving in the nations at this time where he was calling back the Jewish people back to the land. Okay, he's fulfilling scripture where he said he would do that, bringing them back to the nations, bringing them back to Jerusalem, and then he's going to reveal himself to them. He's coming back. We know Jesus is coming back, and the word says that he comes back to Jerusalem, and he will once more reveal himself to his people. So we know we're in important days, and exciting days. And we may look at the nations at the moment and not feel very excited about what's going on. We can look at the shakings that are going on that Jesus said would come. We can look at everything that's going on, the shifting, the insecurities, the fear, everything that Jesus said would go on in the nations before he comes back. We can look and see things are going on. It may not look that exciting, but actually as God's people, he wants us to be excited because he's on the move. Okay. So we were seeing this bigger picture while we were in, Jerusalem. When we were away, we got this sense of urgency. We got this sense of God's timing. We got this sense of the Jewish people where we were in Jerusalem, the Arab people. When we shifted, we went to the States. It's like God, the sense of urgency in God's heart that he wants people to know about Jesus. Okay? And there was a scripture that really just sort of came alive again in Romans 1:16 that says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Okay, the cross of Jesus that we were singing about this morning is everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. It's time. We just got this sense. And I know Clive's spoken about this year. It's time. Now is the time where Jesus wants to be seen. He wants to be seen in this nation, in this community, in Crawley. He wants to be seen in Jerusalem to the Jewish people. He wants to be seen in the States where all hell is breaking loose, and every other nation where wars are breaking out. God wants to reveal Jesus, and he reveals him through us. Amen. That's every single one of us. One of the scriptures that God really spoke to me about is that we were reading recently and again in the last few days. So when we were reading through Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles, I think chapters 13 to 15, it talks about David bringing the Ark of God center place back to Israel. Okay, it talks of him bringing the presence of God that was in the ark, and they put it on a cart, and they were taking it from one place, bringing it back to center place of worship in Israel. And it said David gathered all of Israel. He sent out a call to all of Israel to come because the presence of God, the glory of God, was going to be take center place once again. Okay, and as I'm reading this, God was speaking to me that again, it's time. My glory needs to be taking center place again in the nations where I'm going to be seen. Light is good. I was looking up this morning. You know where the light is peeking through this darkness? It's like, it's this blacked out, but it can't stop the light peeking through. But God wants his whole light, his glory to be seen in the darkness. Amen. And, so with these scriptures, we read it again. And if you're following the Bible reading plan we're doing at the moment as a church, we were in Samuel and at the moment. And in 2 Samuel, it tells the story again. In Samuel tells the story again. And where they bring the ark back, and it's a time of celebration. It's a time of victory. It's a time of, yeah, we're bringing God center stage back to Israel, back to where he needs to be. And he was gathering the people. And that's exactly what God is doing in this time, gathering his people. Jewish people, Muslims getting saved from the nations, hundreds of thousands of people in Iran, so many thousands of Christians, so many getting saved at this time in Iran. So as all hell breaks loose, the kingdom of God is advancing. Or as the kingdom advances, all hell breaks loose. It comes like that, yeah? But we're on the victory side, yeah? Amen. So we moved from Israel to the States, and we spent some time there. We did, you know, sort of tripping around different places. But God very much spoke to us about going to San Francisco, and then we ended up in New York, okay? And both places, and in between, there are lots of Jewish people. So we were praying in San Francisco for salvation, and it was the gay and lesbian pride weekend, so we were praying for them as well. Amen. We ended up in New York, where outside of Israel, the majority of Jewish people are in New York, and they're in Brooklyn. So we were praying there. It was like we'd gone on holiday, but we had a prayer assignment. Yeah? Anybody had those before? You think you're going for one thing and God's doing another. We were praying in these places for the purposes of God to move through the States for his people to either choose to go home or get saved. Whichever way around doesn't matter, because God's gonna, he's gonna fulfill his word. Amen. we were praying his strategies across that nation. And when you look now at all the different things that are going on in that nation, since we've got home, I think there are 3 hurricanes. There's another one blowing through at the moment where the south coast is being hit once again. Many lives being lost, many lives being traumatized with the shooting that's just happened. Just unbelievable, this guy. And all the time they're trying to find out why. Why? Why did this guy accumulate all this stuff? Why did he do it? We may never know the why, but we do know we have an enemy. We do know the devil will just, in these days, take over somebody and do something completely out of the ordinary, because that's how evil operates, isn't it? But God in these days doesn't want us to be in fear. When we were away, there was stuff kicking off here in this nation. So this was in June. So we had, there was attacks in London, a knife attack, a driving attack. There was the bomb in Manchester with the young people. There was the Grenfell Tower fire. Again, so many lives taken, traumatized, wrecked forever. And when we were watching this on the news, I prayed more for this nation, I think, when I wasn't here than when I am here. I was watching everything going on and was listening to watching the news, reading stuff, just to see, because my heart was like, oh my goodness, you know, this is all going on. Could see the fear coming on our nation, could see intimidation coming on our nation. And God was speaking to me how the enemy wants to shut our nation down. He wants to shut our nation up, because this nation was a gospel-sending nation. Amen. Our DNA, this nation, had Christian roots. Okay, it's in our laws. Our commandments were taken from the laws. You know, our laws were taken from the Ten Commandments, so the other way around. Our nation had Christian DNA. Many people now say this nation is no longer a Christian nation. Well, God says something different over our nation. And what's going on is God is speaking to us as his church. Come on, guys, rise up, pray, speak out, decree my plans and purposes over your nation, because the enemy is wanting to shut you down and shut you up. This nation needs its voice back. So a couple of years ago, I was down at David's Tent, the worship event at Whiston Estate. Has anybody been there? I don't know if you, a few of you have been. It's amazing. Okay, it's amazing. A couple of years ago, a band were playing. I can't remember what they were playing, but they went into a time of just flowing with the Spirit, and this guy starts to play on the violin. I may have said this before, but he starts to play on the violin, Rule Britannia. Okay, now, this is a tent full of, like, I don't know, a few thousand young people. I don't know the words at all. The only bit I do know is Britain never, never, never shall be slaves. Okay? So anyway, they started to play this on the violin. And the sound in the room, as everyone started to roar and sing, they put some words up, sing the words to this song, Rule Britannia, Britain never, never, never shall be slaves. And it's like a sound came up that our nation needs back again, that this nation will stand on its own 2 feet and declare who it is in God. Okay, in the spirit, we were a ruling nation. We had an empire. We had a navy. That's where that song was. We ruled the waves. Great Britain ruled the waves, the oceans, and protected our nation, protected other nations. I'm not saying everything we did was right, because it wasn't. But there is a call on this nation to stand up on its own 2 feet. And as we were singing, as we were declaring, everyone was praying. This turned into a time of intercession for this nation. It was amazing to be part of it. And the sound was incredible. But it was a sound in the spirit. And it was the year before Brexit vote. And I knew it was like, we're coming out of Europe. We're coming out, because God's calling this nation to stand up on its own 2 feet. Now, at the moment, since then, there's been so much fear, so much stuff put out there, so much negativity about what's going on. But God isn't looking at this nation in fear and trepidation. He's saying, come on, guys, stand up. You have a calling. This nation has a calling. Amen. But it takes the church to declare that. It takes us to rise up and speak up what God is saying, what he's put inside of us. He doesn't want us listening to the negative reports and getting caught up in those, getting caught up in the distractions of our day, but making a choice and saying, we're going forward. We're standing on our own two feet. We're going forward. And so this all flows together because, when I was in the States, God started speaking to me about being a people of a different spirit. Okay. So let's turn to Numbers 13. Is this okay? You with me? Okay, so I think God had another reason why he took us to the States. And when we were over there, we realized what an amazing bunch of people they are. And I heard a resounding, yes, we agree. Now, they're an interesting bunch, aren't they, the Americans? And Trump is like, just Trump. So we forget him for a moment. The Americans are a very encouraging people, usually. Okay, they are... they honor one another. The Americans have a self-belief about themselves. They have this belief about themselves. And they're not afraid to speak out, okay? And they're not afraid to, just be open and vulnerable and chatty and, you know, all this. So we've been there a few times now because, like I said, our son's over there. And it's one of the things you really notice about how welcoming they are and, you know, and all the rest of it. And one of the things that, you know, you hear people say, and I've said in the past, oh, they can be over the top. They're just loud, they're over the top, they don't really mean it, blah, blah, blah. And their portions are huge and there's so much waste and all the rest of it. So when we were in the States, God took me to this story in Numbers 13. And this is where the Israelites are on the verge of the going into the promised land. He's taken them out of Egypt, out of slavery. They've gone through the desert. They're on the edge of the promised land, okay? And God's promised them abundance and fruit, and they decide to send in slaves to check out the land, whether it is really going to be how God said it is. So they, in Numbers 13, they send in 12 spies. Now, these are leaders. They've picked leaders from the tribes to go in. And in verse 23, it says, they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two of them. One cluster of grapes, okay, on a pole between two blokes. So this wasn't like this size cluster of grapes. You know, when you pick a cluster off and they're sort of like that size, little cluster. Between two guys on a pole, this cluster may have been as tall as I am. Do you know what I mean? And just huge, just huge. And when I read that, God stopped me and he said, now who's over the top in the size of portions? It's like, you are God. He's like, who is the one of abundance? I was like, you are God. Who is the one who's over the top in giving? It's like, you are God. And he started speaking to me about faith and about expectancy and about who God is and the size of his blessings. When he talks about the more than we can ask or imagine in Ephesians that we've talked about before, the more than we can ask or imagine, that's our God. That's the size of his portion, of his abundance. It's over the top, okay? So anyway, they bring this huge bunch of grapes, pomegranates and figs, okay? And they bring them to Moses and Aaron and all the people. And they said to Moses, we came to the land which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So this is a good report, yeah? It's like, yep, this is it. This is what God said. And then what comes next? But we don't want those in our lives, do we? Because straight away it shuts down what God is saying. It says, but the people who dwell there are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. So Amalek dwells in the land of the south, the Hittite, Jebusites, Amorites. So it's all their enemies are in this land, okay? Caleb, one of the 12 that went in, quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go at once to possess it. We are well able to conquer it. Okay? So you've got all these leaders They see the fruit. They've got it in their hands. But there's a but. But the enemies are there. But there's giants there. But they're stronger than us. We can't do it. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. So it's like in these days where all this negativity, all this but, all the lies and the fears and everything that's going on, that negative report that we can read and all the rest is going on, and we can say, no, we can quiet that. We need to quiet it in our own lives. Amen. Our own hearts. He quieted the people before Moses. Let us go at once and possess it. That is an attitude of faith. That is an attitude. And when we're in the States, we could see and hear this just in the people themselves. They honor one another. They honor themselves. They believe in themselves. They've got self-belief. We were there July the 4th. So they're all like, their flags are out. You know, we conquered the British. We were like, yeah, we're British, but you know, just ignore us. They are, and their army, you know, when you get on a plane, you're on a plane and, they announced that somebody from the forces was on the plane. And when they do that, they said their name, who they are, and what group they serve in. And everyone cheered and clapped because they just honor one another. They're encouraging. And we're so not like that over here, are we? We so just want to just bring everybody down to size and bring everybody down to their, who do they think they are? But you know what? That's the enemy. Because what it's done is actually done that to this nation. Who do we think we are? It has cut us down to this size, and God is saying, guys, you have my spirit in you. You have a call and an anointing. You need to stand up, you need to rise up, and your voice needs to be louder than the voice of the enemy and negativity. Amen? So he says, we're well able to conquer it. I think it sounded like it came from Essex there. Well able. but his fellow scouts said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. My goodness. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land, which they had scouted out, saying, the land through which we went to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Can you imagine what God's going on in God now, where he has promised them, they've been in, they've got the fruit in their hands, and then they start to spread an evil report about, no wonder God said, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill him. And Moses is like, no, God, no, don't, you know, go with us. An evil report about God, about his promises. That's like, oh man. They saw giants and all the rest of it. So, but chapter 14, then all the congregation cried out with a loud voice and they wept all night. But so often that's us, isn't it? God has spoken. God has given us promises. He'll even give us glimpses of how amazing he is. And yet, when we're supposed to step forward or step out or there's something ahead of us, we suddenly crumble into this, oh, woe is me, we can't do it, I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it was so challenging me anyway. All the Israelites grumbled and deplored their situation, so they started to accuse their leaders, to whom the whole congregation said, would that we have died in Egypt or that we had died in this wilderness. Why does the Lord bring us to this land to fall by the sword? And they moan and complain. So Moses appeals to God because God's like had enough of it. In verse 24, God says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And we read in Joshua, don't we, where they went in and finally took the land. Caleb was one of the guys there, and he said, give me the land that God promised me, and he got it, and his descendants forever, okay? When we have a different spirit, when we have this faith, like, God, I'm going to hang on to you, and I'm going to go with what you've said, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to believe you, I'm going to stand, and whatever comes against me, God, I trust your promises. That is what God calls a different spirit, a faithful spirit, and you will see that promise at some point. Amen? That's what's there for each one of us. And God was speaking to me when I was in the States about this different spirit, about this spirit of faith, about this attitude of yes, we can. And it's not an arrogant or a bigger than our boots attitude. It's a God said it. We're going to see it happen. We can do this. Amen. And that's the call on his church to stand up with this different spirit and know that we're going to take the land. And this isn't like physically we're not going to war, but we do need to take Crawley back for God. Amen. We need to take our towns back, our communities back, our households, our families. We're believing for households. And it starts with this attitude. Yes, we are able. Because God has said it, and it's having that faith on the inside of us. A vast army rising up in faith and boldness, okay? Standing with God and seeing them more than we can ask or imagine. One of the things that God has been, that we're just praying at the moment in this time is that come breath of life in Ezekiel 37. We know it was for the people of Israel, specifically that God was going to raise them up from the ashes. But it's come breath of life, breathe on me that I stand up, Lord, as part of this army in these days. Amen. That the light that is in us will shine out to our community. It will shine out in my home. It will shine out in my street where I live, in my workplace, my school, wherever. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul says, a wide door for effective, powerful service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries to withstand. When I read that when I was back from our trip away, I felt God speaking that for every single one of us. Every single person in his body, there is a wide door open for every single one of us to step through. There are new things for us to step into in this season. There are new places to go into. There's new homes and streets and areas of ministry that he wants to open up, new jobs, new whatever, that we step through because it's, we're going to see the kingdom of God released. Amen. But we have to have that attitude of, yes, I'm going to do this, because the enemy is standing right there. Right there next to that doorpost saying, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? You can't do that. And he'll just intimidate and lie, because that's all he can do. That's all he can do. But we have got to say, yes, we're going forward. So to do with Israel, for Clive and I, God spoke very clearly to us out of our time when we were there about what we need to do in this nation in regards to what we'd been involved in over there. And God is, he's given us these relationships with the embassy and the board of deputies in this country. He's opened up doors for us that we can't shrink back. He's saying, come on, I've got this for you to do now. I've got this for you to do next year. And we've got to go, okay, God, we can do this because you have said it. Amen. But for every single one of us, there is a door that's open of opportunity. And it's like, yes, God, we're going to step through. Amen. And we're going to do it together. Another thing I saw when we were in the States, we went to a Bethel conference. And in the worship, I just saw like this image of God dancing. Okay. And it was like took up the whole ceiling. Do you know what I mean? Took up the whole room, that it was like God dancing, okay? It was like, really? And at the time, this is like while all this stuff is going on in my head and heart about what's going on in our nation at the time, what's going on. And God, you're dancing? And he's like, yeah. And I wrote it down in my book, and I didn't say anything to Clive. And but the next morning they had a woman giving testimony on stage, and she said she'd been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay. Now that's a label and a diagnosis now that so many people have. They're giving to so many people because there's so much trauma going on. There's so much that people, we are not supposed to be able to cope with. We are seeing things in these days. People are witnessing things in an area when something kicks off. She had totally shut down, was totally in depression and suicidal. And different people had tried different things with her. She was a believer. She couldn't get out of this stress and the trauma, and she decided to go to Bethel, to their school, and in a small group one night, and the small group was being filmed, so they showed the film. One of the ladies in the group said, I believe you need to sit in the middle of the floor. This was the lady with the stress disorder. You need to sit in the middle of the floor, and I'm going to dance over you. And so on the film, this girl sat on the floor, and another girl just danced all around her and over her. And And this woman got completely, completely set free. Okay. And so this was the morning after I'd seen God like dancing. I was like, okay, God was like, yeah, Jane, I'm speaking to you. So I am showing you because this is me. I'm doing a victory dance and you need to join in. You need to join in. And it was like, okay, God, you're doing a victory dance. And it's like, God's like, yes, because I see the end from the beginning. I know what's coming. There is victory. You have it. Join with me. Now, I'm not a dancer, so I don't know what that looks like, right? I'm not a dancer. I'm not a floaty dancer. Don't do any sort of dancing. I don't bounce up and down, really. But you know, God wants to bring freedom. How God wants to bring freedom. And if you're in a meeting or anywhere and God says dance, because that person's going to get set free, then dance. Do you know what I mean? If he says sing, if he says blow a trumpet, if he says jump up and down, or if he tells you to go and do something you've never done before, or he puts something before you, says you can do this. It's like, because that's how he wants to release his kingdom at that moment in somebody's life or in a community. And we need to say, yes, God, I'm going to do this, even if I look daft. It's trusting him, isn't it? It's trusting how he wants the kingdom to be released through us because we carry his kingdom. We carry this light that needs to penetrate the darkness. So he's going to ask us to do things. Are we up for it? I think we are. As we're reading in these days, when David brought the ark in, he danced exuberantly. He danced militantly. Pastor Colin's been talking about that just recently. He's heard God about his militancy in our praise. And it's like knowing that we have this victory, knowing we can dance, knowing we can release him in these days because we have the victory. And it's only this victory that's going to see this world set free. Amen? Amen. God wants to release strategies to every single one of us in these days that look and sound different, but we need to look and sound different to release him. Yeah? It requires us to surrender to the Holy Spirit in a new way, in a deeper way, in the days that we're in. I felt God say a phrase to me the other day that I am working through because I'm not there. But I felt God say, in these days, people are losing everything. They're losing everything. We've seen that, haven't we, with the hurricanes on those islands. People are losing everything. And he said, are you prepared to give everything? And I'm not there yet. But I know that's what it requires of us as his people, to lay down our lives, our time, our finances, our theories, our thinking, everything. So that he can come through to those that need him most in these days. And we're living in days where we know that trauma and that darkness is very, very real for lots of people. So it requires more of, it will require more prayer, more crying out, more getting his heart for the lost, more, you know, the victory in prayer that's happening on Wednesday night. You know, us all together praying, this vast army standing up and saying, yes, God, we're going to decree your victories over our town. And a few months ago, we were, you know, praying over our communities, and on the Wednesday nights, we were going out and praying around our towns. Did you guys prayer walk in Crawley? Yeah, we were doing it at Horsham. And I know that we were coming against suicide from the car park in town. So last week or the week before, there was a message on WhatsApp saying somebody's up on top of the roof. There's police there. Just pray. So different ones of us whoever managed to read the WhatsApp that time in the morning just were praying. But I read a report later on that day that said there was a couple who'd pulled into the car park and they saw this person standing on the edge, and immediately they went over and started talking to this person and called them back and then called the police. And so it saved this person's life. And I'm like, thank you, God. We prayed in that place and there was somebody there to rescue that person from actually doing it. Okay. So our prayers work. Amen. God, it puts angels in place. It puts people in place to be there to rescue somebody at their point of desperation. It will require courage from us, even amongst one another. It will require courage. to step out and do what God is asking of us. But I believe it's going to release, we're going to see a release of joy amongst us and freedom and a new, just, I don't know, a new attitude with a new atmosphere. I don't know, just a release of freedom, because the world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And that's us. That's knowing who we are as his children and just being free and letting him loose in the earth. Does that make sense? One last thing, that there's an event in London. We're going to pray in a second, but I just wanted to let you know about this event that's happening in London. November the 7th. It's a Tuesday night. Okay. I know it's not always convenient to go to an event in London, but there's a big event at the Royal Albert Hall. And this event is to honor, the Balfour Declaration. Okay. Now, 100 years ago, Lord Balfour stated that, we recognize, this nation recognizes that the Jewish people have a homeland, and that then it was called Palestine. And, he said that they have a right to be back in their homeland. So the British government put that in place. Okay. So that was 100 years ago. So there's a big celebration in the Royal Albert Hall, November the 7th on a Tuesday evening. And what's interesting is we had nothing to do with that celebration. That's the Jewish and the Christians organizing that. They're putting on this big event for Jews and Christians to be there to celebrate part of history that this nation was involved in. And but since then, there's a young adults declaration. There's four declarations going out that night that are being spoken out. And one of them, there's a bunch of young people organizing this declaration and basically restating that our nation stands with, and the church stands with Israel once again. And so a number of our young people have been involved. Clive and I got together with these group of young people in London, and then some of our young people got involved. So our young people are going to be involved in bringing that declaration on that Tuesday night. Now, that is actually really important. It's like history making. And a bunch of your, including Niall Siobhan, I think, is coming. Young people from here are going to be on that platform, Royal Albert Hall, making that declaration on behalf of the church in this nation. And that's like, wow, God, that's amazing. And then someone asked if Clive would do one of the other declarations. So he's now involved in bringing one of these. And it's like, God, we had nothing to do with this event. And now all of a sudden we're right in the middle of it. And that's a God thing, because there's something about our call as Kingdom Faith to do with Israel, to do with the UK, that God is rolling out. We're just going with it. So we said to our young guys, who wants to be there? And they're like, yep, we want to be there, right there, saying what this, the church in this nation and what this nation needs to be standing with once again. So there's still tickets. You get them from the Royal Albert Hall itself. There are different prices depending on where you want to sit. But it's something about us, all of us collectively, that is really important that's going on in these days. If you want to come, contact Royal Albert Hall, get yourself a ticket, and a bunch of our young guys are going to be right down the front and on the platform, and Clive's going to be there as well. And we're just involved in something that God is doing, which is really exciting. Amen. Okay, should we stand and pray? So, first of all, let's just surrender to the Lord ourselves, our own hearts at this time, our own lives. Jesus, we acknowledge that this is all about you. Jesus, you died on the cross to take away our sin, to clean us up, to forgive us, Lord. To be Lord of our lives, we would have a fresh start. And Lord, we want to surrender again afresh our hearts, our lives, our time, our finances, our work, our families. We want to surrender every area of our lives to you in this season, Lord, because you want your glory to be seen totally through us, Lord, your light and your glory that you've put within us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you want it to be seen through us, to be shining through us. Lord, just take our hearts. If there's any area of your heart right now, you just need to resurrender to him. Any area of your life where you are available to him. Any area where you know you control and you don't want him to take control of, because what it might mean. Just surrender your heart and your life afresh this morning and say, Jesus, come and be Lord, that you shine out of my life. Come and be Lord, that you, when you speak, I will act. When you speak, I will go. When you open this door before me, I will step through in an attitude of faith. Because when you speak, Lord, then you are going to move, Lord. Lord, deal with every area in my heart when I don't trust you. Deal with every area of our heart, our hearts, where we don't trust you, Lord. And Lord, we want to be free. We want to be free. We want to trust you. We want to move out, Lord, into areas that you're speaking about, Lord, to do what you're asking, Lord, to see your kingdom released through each one of us. I want to be free, Lord. Can you say that to him? Lord, I want to be free, free to be a child of God, free to release you wherever, free to open my mouth to whoever, Lord, because your heart is for that person. Your heart is for my community. Your heart is for my street or my family member that doesn't know you. Jesus, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Lord, I pray right now you come upon each one of us. Blow upon us, Holy Spirit. Come, breath of life, and breathe on us, Lord. Your spirit that causes each one of us to stand up strong, to stand up as a mighty army, to stand up in you and say, yes, God, I will stand firm for you. Yes, God, I will go forward for you. Lord Jesus, come and heal every area of our hearts where it's slain and where it's besieged and where I say there is no hope. Come now, Holy Spirit, breathe on us, breathe breath of life, that we stand up a mighty army for you, Lord Jesus, in this day. Lord, that we shine in the darkness. Lord, that we shine a different spirit. I speak over us. Every single one of us, a different spirit. We speak that attitude, that gift of faith, that yes, we can do this. Yes, I believe in myself because I have Jesus in me. Yes, I'm going to believe and encourage my brothers and sisters because we have Jesus with us and God has spoken. I speak over kingdom faith, a different spirit being released in these days and in our community, in our 25-mile radius and in this nation. Because, Lord, we have a job to do. Thank you, Jesus. I read in the reading today, I read this line, I think it stated it twice. God preserved David and gave him victory. And I speak over us, Lord, we are a remnant in this nation, preserved by you, by your grace. And Lord, you will give us victory. We thank you. It's dependent on you and not on us. Lord, it's dependent on your choosing and your outworking and your anointing. And we say, yes, Lord. And we thank you for the release of victories. And we thank you for the release of joy in our lives and in amongst us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a shout of praise, yeah? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your victories, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your victories. We thank you for release of your kingdom amongst us and through us, Lord. For your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.